You are listening to the Word of Deliverance Church podcast. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us at wodchurch.com.
Hallelujah. Do you believe that your love is a sweet sound in His ear?
Amen.
Amen. Scripture tells us that He inhabits the praises of His people. Hallelujah. God likes to hang out among praisers. Amen. Hallelujah. Sweet presence of the Lord in here this morning. I'm convinced that we'll never know what all takes place in worship. Amen. I'm convinced that we never know what all takes place as we release the presence of the Holy Spirit. Not that we're in charge of the presence of the Holy Spirit. We just yield to it.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
We just yield to it and flow in it and experience it and try to mimic it and our feeble attempts to do the best that we know of what we call worship. Hallelujah. But I think if we could ever hear what all was going on in the realms of the heavens and the realms of the Spirit, even as we begin to open our voice and cry out, holy, holy to the Lord, I believe it's catchy. Hallelujah. I believe all of heaven sings it with us. Amen. I believe all of heaven rejoices in the presence of the Almighty, rejoices with us. Hallelujah. I believe there's a great crowd of witnesses that worship with us. Amen. Also, hallelujah. Those who are not with us here in body, but are here with us in spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That are just in a thin place.
Yes, they are.
Just beyond a thin place, just a thin veil. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That if we only ever really knew the power of God and the presence of the Holy Ghost, and if we could ever really see beyond what we see right here and right now. Amen. Hallelujah. To know that the presence of the Lord is so alive and so real and so tangible. Aren't you glad this morning that we serve a touchable, tangible God?
Yes.
That you can feel His presence.
Yes.
I wouldn't give you 2 cents for a God that you cannot feel.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. For a God that you cannot feel. Thank you. Thank God for His presence this morning. Last Sunday we talked a little bit about the wise man and the foolish man. And my scriptures last week, one of them was, a wise man builds his house on a rock. Amen?
Yes.
A wise man builds a house on a rock.
Yes.
Because we know to both houses came storms, came wind, came rain, came the elements. Amen? And it came to both houses. But the scripture tells us that the house that's built on a firm foundation, the house that's built on Jesus Christ, the solid rock, the house that's built on salvation through God, the house that's built, the house that God built. Amen? The scripture says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, he's talking about this house. He's talking about the house as a whole, the church as a whole. How many know he's in the process of building his house? And he's using lively stones to do that. Good morning, lively stones. Hallelujah. So a wise man builds his house on the rock. And as I was thinking this morning, or this week actually, thinking about the service and things like that, I thought also that a wise man builds his house out of rock. Amen. A wise man builds his house out of rock. Do you know that there's a difference between rock and brick? Amen?
Yes.
There's a difference in, what is it?
Man-made.
Brick is a man-made substance. Amen?
Solid.
They're all the same thing.
Yes.
When you go get a load of brick, you want them to all be the same size. Or it makes it a whole lot crazy trying to put them in the wall. Amen?
Amen.
Bricks are all cut from the same pattern. They all look the same most of the time. Now, there's different shades of them, different variations. But how many know a brick's a brick? And a brick will never be a stone.
No.
And a stone will never be a brick. They're two different things, two different materials. And so, how many know God is not building His house out of bricks? He's building them out of stones.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. A brick is a man-made substance. In the scripture, go ahead and put up Isaiah 9, 6 through 10 for me, Stephanie. And I'm going to start with that scripture. And this is maybe what the Lord has maybe been speaking to me lately about build with the stones we've been given. Amen. How many know in the house of God there are stones that are unique in character? They're placed intentionally. They're sculpted in the hand of the mason. Rare stones become more valuable because of the cut of the stone. And we need to allow ourselves to be made according to His pattern. Hallelujah. How many know stones take a little bit of adjustment? Amen. If you're going to lay stones in the wall, it takes a little bit of an adjustment and takes some cutting. It takes some forming. It takes some shaping. It takes some hammering. It takes some. It takes the eye of a mason to know how to place the stone in the wall. Amen. To know where it must be placed. Not every stone, even in its own form, when it's gotten in its own form, is able to be placed in the wall without some adjustments to it. Amen? How many ever had God do a little bit of adjustment on you? A little bit of a maneuvering, a little bit of working on you. A few of you nod your head. The rest of you want to nod your head. You just, you know. Yeah. Hallelujah. I mean, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Amen. Yeah. Took Him a week to make the moon and the stars, but He's still working on me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so there's some adjustment that needs to be made, but the Scripture says that we are lively stones. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. But Isaiah 9 and 6 says, and this is a scripture we use a lot of times at Christmas, but verse 10 is what actually caught my eye. It says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." That ought to make us all want to stand up and shout.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. It's not in the White House. It's upon who? His shoulder. Whose shoulder? The one whose name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Of the increase of His government and peace. Let me say that again. Of the increase of His government and peace. You really can have government and peace at the same time.
Yes.
That's good news this morning. Amen. And of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord sent a word into Jacob, and it hath been lighted upon Israel. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, that say in the pride and stoutness of heart, the bricks are fallen down. Bricks are fallen down. But we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down. Another translation says the fig tree is cut down. But we will change them into cedars. How many know there is a difference between bricks and stones?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a difference in fig trees and cedars.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And this portion of scripture, as God begins to declare, Isaiah the prophet begins to declare, "For unto us a child is born." And how many know this is a prophetic word?
Yes.
How many know Isaiah did not see this prophetic word come to pass?
No.
Can I tell you, if you've not seen every prophetic word in your life come to pass, that doesn't mean it's null or void.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He began to declare to the nation of Israel and speak to the children of Israel and say, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." How many of you, he's talking about the one that we know is Jesus the Messiah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That would come, and his purpose is to restore Israel, not just necessarily the nation of Israel, but how many know he came to make of twain one new man? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that we have been brought in to the kingdom of God, not by the natural seed of Abraham, but we're not born as one of the natural, but born as one of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And therefore we are the seed of Abraham. And so he comes declaring, but how many of the people said, "Well, we'll just build back what's been destroyed. We'll build back what's been torn down." Hallelujah. How many know in our own strength we cannot build We cannot build it. It must be something that Jesus establishes. Yeah. Hallelujah. And it must be something built with not bricks, but stones, and not fig trees, but cedars. Hallelujah. How many know the fig tree or the sycamore tree, the quality of the wood is not as effective as a cedar tree?
Come on.
There's a whole lot of properties in a cedar tree. They used to use it for, if you go back and look at the cedars of Lebanon, it talks about the palaces of the kings being built out of cedars. They built altars out of cedars. They cedar does not corrupt like a lot of other woods and things do. The moths do not decay it. It has an antiseptic property. They've studied a lot of the resins and things that come out of the cedars of Lebanon, and they find that they have healing properties for skin diseases, for leprosy, for arthritic conditions, all kinds of things like that, that there are healing properties in the cedars of Lebanon. I'm thinking, wow, if we could ever tap into that and figure that out, we might just chew on a few juniper berries or something, you know, and make a few teas out of cedar branches or something. I mean, no, there's some healing properties in there. And I believe, this is just a sideline, but I believe the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nation. I believe everything that we need is here.
Yes.
For us. I believe all the healing is here for us. Hallelujah. But the scripture says that we talk about building with bricks or stones. In the beginning of the scriptures, back in Genesis 11, 1 through 9, it talks about bricks. There's a couple places in the scriptures that it talks about bricks. Go ahead and give me Genesis 11, 1 through 9.
Thank you, Lord.
Let me turn over to 1 Peter 2, 4 through 10 while she's doing that. 1 Peter 2, if you have your Bible. It says, "To whom, coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." How many know He was the stone that the builders rejected? Christ, the living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar or set apart or chosen people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." How many are glad this morning that you are a chosen generation?
Hallelujah.
You are a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. You are a lively stone, a living stone. Hallelujah. That is fitly framed together, building up a holy habitation unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Whose house ye are. We are the habitation of the Lord. And I believe that God builds with stones. He builds after the pattern of the chief cornerstone. Amen? Hallelujah. He builds after the pattern of the chief cornerstone. But in Genesis 11, 1 through 9, it says, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they lot off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, or confusion, because the Lord did therefore confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the earth. How many know when we build with bricks, we're building with a man-made, man-centered mentality?
Yeah.
It said, they said, let us take bricks and slime, and let us build us a tower to heaven. In our own works or our own abilities or our own strength, let us build something and let us build it up to the heavens, build it to the tower so we can make a name for ourselves. I mean, no, the very first thing they did was they were wanting to make a name for themselves instead of building something unto God. Hallelujah. There is a whole lot of places that are built with bricks and slime that are built to make a name unto themselves.
Yeah.
And all that ever comes out of it is confusion.
Yes, that's
right. Amen? When you try to build with a man-made, man-cut mentality, man-centered mentality that says, let's build this, but let's make a name unto ourselves. Hallelujah. How many know what God is building in this day is building a name unto Himself? Hallelujah. What the children of Israel were trying to do back in the book of Isaiah was to build something unto themselves, build their own houses, build their own temples, build their own structures, build their own thing. But Isaiah begins to declare of Jesus, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. If you're going to build something, you're going to always have to build it according to a pattern. Amen. According to the blueprints. All the builders in the house know how hard it is to go in to start to build something. People say, well, I want it to do this and like this, and I want this over here, and they're like, you know, put it on paper. Or make it, you know, you gotta have a blueprint, you gotta have a plan, amen. And you got to build it according to pattern. And then you got to build it with materials that will stand the test of time. Amen? And I believe that, you know, even as God is building us, or He's building the house, whether it's building this house or this church, how many know that we are all lively stones in this house?
Absolutely.
And everyone has a place and a calling and a purpose and an anointing on your life to be what God has called you to be in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And we do not have to be carbon copies of each other. Aren't you glad for that? All the bricks and all the building material in this house do not have to be the same look, the same design, the same pattern. Aren't you glad that God gave us each talents and abilities and anointings after the pattern of what He's called us to do, to enable us? Hallelujah. And so they are making this rubber stamp. Man's attempt, Tower of Babel was man's attempt in his own strength to get to God. It has been God's plan from the beginning to get to you. Rubber stamp religion or bricks will always bring confusion. We're still dealing with a confused language of a system that merits on our own works.
Come on.
Anytime you're building a system that merits on your own works, it's a confusion. Amen? And as I was thinking this the other night, the scripture says God came down and He confused their language. But I know of a day over in the New Testament on the day of Pentecost.
Yes.
When they're in an upper room and an upper building and an upper place. And the scripture said, and they're all in one accord and in one place and in unity. And all of a sudden there's a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. And it fills all the house. And as it began to fill all the house. Hallelujah. How many know they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance?
Yes.
And the scripture says, and they began to hear everyone in their own language. When you're building a system, a Tower of Babel system out of man-made bricks and out of your own works, and you're a attempt to get to God and make a name for yourself, it always causes the language to be confused. Can I tell you, if we could all ever just get on the same page of what we're saying, and if the message could be clear, the gospel of the good news, the message of the cross of Calvary, hallelujah, and speak with one language, we wouldn't have to be worrying about making a name for ourselves or getting to heaven, but heaven would so invade the earth that we could not stop the power or the voice of God in this day. But when the Holy Ghost comes on the scene in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, they begin, the language began to come in unity again, and all of a sudden they began to speak an utterance of the Holy Ghost and not of what man was saying. And the scripture says, and they all heard and understood in their own language. Hallelujah. And then a man named Peter. Anybody know what the name Peter means? It means the rock. Cephas, Petros, the rock. Hallelujah. Peter, who do men say that I am? Well, I don't know, Lord. Some of them say you're a prophet. Some of them say you're Elijah. Pretty much, Lord, they've called you about every name in the book. Which name do you want to know? They've called you a heretic. They've called you, you know, Beelzebub. They've called you, they pretty much called you everything they can call you. Jesus just smiled and says, Peter, but who do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven hath revealed this and has made this real to you. And he says, and upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Can I tell you, at that time Peter was anything but a rock? Except when he stepped out of the boat and he started to sink.
Yeah.
Like a rock.
Yeah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. How many know Jesus was working on Peter?
Oh, yes.
There was a little bit of tapping with the hammer, Ike? I don't know, when you're tapping on the, all you builders.
A brick hammer.
A brick hammer. There you go. Or, you know, the hammer they use to shape it.
A masonry
hammer. There you go.
Sledgehammer.
Sledgehammer. That's how I do it. The sledge. All else fails, get the sledgehammer. Hallelujah. How many are glad God doesn't use the sledgehammer on you, but He uses. He said, you can fall on the rock and be broken. You can have the rock fall on you and grind you into powder. How many know I'd rather fall at the mercy of the rock anytime than to have the rock fall on me? Hallelujah. How many know Peter took a little bit of adjustment? Peter took a little bit of forming. He took a little bit of shaping. Hallelujah. As God saw purpose and potential in Peter. Aren't you glad this morning as you sit here that God sees purpose and potential in you, and He is faithful to work with you and adjust you and form you and shape you so that He can place you right where He wants you to be. Amen. We think discipline is a bad thing. How many know discipline's not a bad thing?
It's not.
We have to be disciplined people. You do not do your children a favor by not disciplining them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There takes some forming, some shaping, some molding. Hallelujah. And so as Peter stands up in the day of Pentecost in the upper room, all of a sudden heaven is speaking, and the language, it says, and they began to hear everyone in their own language and understood. Hallelujah. And Peter, Petros, the rock, stands up and says, men and brethren, this is not what you suppose. These men are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it's the middle of the afternoon, but this is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Hallelujah. Your sons and daughters are going to prophesy and see visions. Your old men are going to dream dreams. Your young men see visions. Hallelujah. And he begins to declare what's spoken and prophesied out of the book of Joel. I mean, no, that's a different man than we see in the Gospels earlier. But I think God, when He says to Peter, upon this rock I'm going to build my church, He's not just talking about I'm going to build my church on Peter. He's talking about the fact on the revelation and the understanding of who I am. If you ever get a revelation, if you ever get an understanding of what really happened 2,000 years ago on a hill called Mount Calvary, on an old rugged cross, you're going to find out that that's the revelation of what I'm going to build my church on, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Yeah. Hallelujah. How many know hell has no dominion over you?
Come on.
The gates of hell cannot prevail against what God is building in His house and building in His church. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, the Israelites, the children of Israel, were under bondage of the Pharaoh. You remember that? Hallelujah. And what they had them do, and as slaves, they had them making bricks out of mud and straw and slime. And they were building treasure palaces for the king and for the Pharaoh. How many know bricks is a slave mentality? When you have a slave mentality, I'm here because I have to, I'm here because I gotta be. And you know, when our focus, even in our ministry, becomes a have to slave mentality more than God has purposed and called me for this, and I am honored to serve in this. I mean, no, there's a different mentality there. Hallelujah. But the children of Israel were under pharaohs, and they were under taskmasters. And when they complained, they took the straw away and said, then build the bricks out of just mud and slime. But what happened in that day, when they built those bricks, they didn't bake them like we do today in kilns and harden them. And they're not hard bricks like ours were. They baked in the sun. But after a while, those bricks even deteriorated because there was no substance in them. Hallelujah. How many know rocks have substance?
Yeah.
We live in rocky area. Amen. We live, if rocks were valuable, I would be a rich woman. Because my house is nothing but rocks out there. We had excavating done and there's not much topsoil, but buddy, we got rocks. How many know rocks can tell a story?
Amen.
We figure out what's happened in our earth over the years, over the thousands and beyond that of years, because we can read what the rocks have to say. Amen? You can find fossils, and there's a story in there. There's a story in rocks, hallelujah, that are hard substance. It's something that stood the test of time. It's something that's permanent. It's something that will last, hallelujah. Jesus said that He was the chief cornerstone. The cornerstone is the stone that everything is established on. It's what, okay, if I say this right, it's what plumb runs off of, right? You got to establish that cornerstone because everything else runs off of that cornerstone. Amen? It's the pattern. It's what we set the building up as. Jesus says He was the chief cornerstone. Hallelujah. Go ahead and give me Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. Isaiah 28 and 16 says, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, not a brick, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. He that believeth shall not make haste. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22 says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Hallelujah. I mean, we're built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. We've built on what was established even from the days of old, the patriarchs. Yeah. Amen? Hallelujah. And so our lives must be established on who Christ is in us, the foundation, the firm cornerstone. The whole foundation is set, it must be plumb, level, and strong. Hallelujah. The scripture says that Jesus is the rock that followed them through the wilderness.
Glory to God. Yes.
It's the rock that followed. That's what 1 Corinthians says. He was the rock that followed them through the wilderness. Yes. Hallelujah. How many know He was the smitten rock? When they come out of the Exodus out of Egypt, and they've come into the wilderness, they started saying, we don't have any water. There's no water here. What did you do? Bring us out into the wilderness to let us die of thirst now. And the scripture says God spoke to Moses. He said, Moses, says, God, what am I going to do? The people are thirsty. They want water. Hallelujah. He said, Moses, I want you to smite the rock. Uh-huh. And when you smite the rock, water is going to come out of the
yes.
out of the rock. How many know He is that source of living water? He is that rock. He is the smitten rock. Uh-huh. What happens later on, the people aggravate Moses again when there's no water, to the point that he takes the rod and smites the rod the second time when God told him to speak to the rock. And because of it, Moses doesn't get to go into the promised land. How many know Jesus was the rock that was smitten once and for all? The scripture says there is no more sacrifice for sin. There is no another crucifixion. There is no other sacrifice except the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He was the once smitten rock. Aren't you glad now that all you got to do is speak to the rock? You don't have to smite the rock again. All you got to do is speak to the rock. And when we speak to the rock, there is a flow of water. There is a river of life that flows from a rock. Hallelujah. Called Jesus, the chief cornerstone. Hallelujah. And it said, we will build not with bricks, but with stones, not with figs, but with cedars. Hallelujah. You know, before I go there, talking about, in the rocks. How many know when Nehemiah comes back to the city and he sees the city in ruins, he begins to see a vision of the city being rebuilt. I mean, we must always have a vision of building and not tearing down. Hallelujah. We've got to have a vision ahead of what we see that we can begin to build. And what Nehemiah began to do was encourage the people to build. I mean, there was a voice of Sanballat. There was a voice of Tobiah. There was a voice that said, if you build that, if they build that wall back, if even a fox walks on that wall, it's going to fall down. How many know a lot of times there's a lot of negative voices that are spoken over what God is doing and what God is building? But the scripture says, but the people had a mind to work. The people had a mind to build. And what they had to do sometimes was go back into what looked like rubble and pull out some stones. Pull out some rocks that seemed like they had been cast away, or seemed like they'd been fallen down, or seemed like they had been destroyed. How many know God is in the business of taking some rocks and rebuilding some things? Things that in our life sometimes that look like it's been destroyed, torn down, or broken. God is in the business of being able to take those stones and build with them, hallelujah, something precious and something vital. But the scripture says the people had a mind to work. Hallelujah. If we ever get a mind to work and get a mind to build, I'm convinced that there's not anything that we can't accomplish.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But how many know somebody's got to get a vision for it? Somebody's got to get an idea. Somebody's got to get a thought. Somebody's got to say, I think we can do this. I think we can build here. I think we can expand here. I think we can do some great things. Amen. But somebody's got to have a vision for that.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He said, we will build with cedars and not figs. How many know figs was another material that was man's attempt to cover themselves?
Yes.
It was a man's attempt to cover nakedness.
Yes,
it was a form of godliness. And we'll see in a couple of different instances here. But how many know in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve had eaten of the tree of the forbidden fruit, the scripture says, and their eyes were open, and they were naked and ashamed, and they hid themselves.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And so what they did is went and got fig leaves to cover themselves. Hallelujah. Can I just say to you, it was okay yesterday that they were naked. But all of a sudden, because they had eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, their eyes were open to what they thought was nakedness, and therefore they were ashamed. What we do most of the time when we feel like we are naked and ashamed before God is we run and hide ourselves instead of coming boldly before the throne of God and say, I need your grace. I need your mercy. I need your life. Hallelujah. See, you have the choice to eat of the tree of life or eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life that we eat of is a tree called Calvary that gives us life, and it's not about my what I've eaten of. It's not about my sins. It's not about how I can cover myself. How many know you do not have the ability to cover yourself?
Hallelujah.
And you do not have to run and hide yourself in shame when you feel like that there is that you've messed up, but there's problems in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. And so it was man's attempt to cover themselves. And the fig wood is not wood that is strong. It's not wood of substance. It's not wood of strength like the cedars of Lebanon are. It was an inferior wood. A sycamore was an inferior fig tree. Hallelujah. In Luke 13, 6 through 10, can you bring that up for me? He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I came seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day. Realize that where he's at, he's in the synagogue. And he starts to tell a story about a fig tree. I mean, you know, he's talking about the nation of Israel at this point. He's not just talking about a fig tree. He said, these 3 years I have come. In the ministry of Jesus, in those 3 years of his ministry, he said, I've come looking to find fruit on this tree, and all I find is barrenness. All I find is fig leaves. All I find is a tree, but no fruit. How many know as Christians we are to bear fruit,
yeah,
and that your fruit might remain? Hallelujah. It was a religious system. It was a man-made system. It was their temples. Jesus said, tear down this temple and I'll build it back again in 3 days. Hey, guess what? If you say that, that could get you crucified. Because that's the very statement that ends up rent their beat on their breast, they rent their clothes and said, that's blasphemy. That's just hypocritical. And he said, tear this temple down and I'll build it back again in 3 days. He said, I come these 3 years wanting to find fruit on this tree, but I found none. Hallelujah. How many know the temple he's talking about was not their natural temple? He was talking about this temple. And the house that God built is not of natural products. It's not, as I said, we didn't come to the house of the Lord today that this is some kind of sacred place. But we came because we are the house of the Lord. We are the habitation of the Lord. And we are the lively stones that God wants to build to raise up a holy habitation unto the Lord. Hallelujah. And so I want to go to... I'm going to go to Luke 19, 1 through 10. Bricks versus stones, figs versus cedars, or sycamores versus cedar. A sycamore is an inferior fig tree in the scriptures. But in Zacchaeus, in Luke we see of Zacchaeus, in Luke 19, 1 through 10. Matthew, Mark, and Luke have the account of Jesus' triumphal entry into the city. They have them rearranged in a little bit different order as to how it happens. As to how Jesus comes into the city, as to when he goes into the temple, or when he curses the fig tree. There's a whole lot of things that happen in that portion of Scripture, but they all begin with the triumphal entry of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And in Luke chapter 19, 1 through 10, let me get it in my scripture here. Luke 19. It's about the time that Jesus is making his entrance into Jerusalem. which is on down in that chapter, verse 28 of Luke. But it says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree," my Bible says an inferior fig tree, "to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured and said that he was going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus enters into the city of Jericho, and there's a man named Zacchaeus. And the scripture says he's a man of little stature. Now, not in stature as a finance, because we know Zacchaeus has goods. He tells us in the story he has goods. But because he's a man of little stature, he climbs up into a fig tree or a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looks up in the tree. Hallelujah. I mean, there's a crowd of multitude around Jesus at this time as he's coming into the city. However, as he passes by this fig tree, he sees a man hanging out in the fig tree, and he stops because his desire is to take the man out of the fig tree and to take him to his house. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, a whole lot of times we can hang out in the fig tree thinking we've got our act together. Amen.
Truth.
Hallelujah. Thinking we've got our
increased in goods and have need of nothing.
Thinking we are rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing. But how many know Zacchaeus saw his need to see Jesus?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And Jesus stops by the tree and says, Zacchaeus, get down out of that system. Get down out of that fig tree. Get down out of that man's attempt to cover yourself. Your nakedness, your shame. Come down, Zacchaeus. I just want to go to your house. Hallelujah. How many know Jesus just wants to be and reside and live in your house? He said, I and my Father come, we'll take up our abode in you. And the scripture says he goes to Zacchaeus' house, and those around him said, what is Jesus doing at the house of a sinner? I think he's got the mason's hammer. And he's doing a little bit of adjusting.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. But see, here's what I love about this. The scripture never tells us, really doesn't even give us the insight into what the conversation is with Zacchaeus and Jesus. But can I tell you, grace will meet you where you are, but it will not leave you where it found you.
Amen.
Grace will meet you where you are, but it will not leave you where it found you. Hallelujah. When Jesus came into contact with anyone in the scriptures, when he left, they were in better shape than anybody ever told them. They were in better shape when he left than they were when he came into their presence.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. See, I just dare to believe that every time we come into the presence of the Lord, every time we're in the house with God, how many know that his presence is so real and so alive that most of the time, nothing has to be said, but our spirit starts talking to us and God starts doing something in our heart. And Zacchaeus stands up and says, man, if I've wronged anybody, I'm going to give it back. If I've offended anybody, I'm going to straighten it out. Whatever it is in my life that is not pleasing. Hallelujah. I mean, I've been in the presence of greatness today. I mean, when you're in the presence of Jesus, you cannot leave the same way as you came.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. My dad used to like a song that said, you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Bound, oppressed, tormented, sick, or lame. How many know every time that we're in the presence and in the fellowship and communion with the Savior, there's a change that takes place in our life. There's something that happens. Aren't you glad that He does not leave you where He found you, but He calls for something precious out of you and says, man, I have been in the presence of greatness today, and it challenges me to be even better, even greater than the man that I used to be. Hallelujah. So he comes in and he sees Zacchaeus in the fig tree first. Hallelujah. And then go to Mark 11, 1 through 11 for me. Real quick, I'm going to run out of time. Hallelujah. Jesus makes his triumphal entry and he says, and when they came nigh to Jerusalem under Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied, whereon never man set. Loose him and bring him. Hallelujah. How many know this is a place where no man else has ever set? What Jesus is about to do when he enters into Jerusalem is to set in a place that no man else has ever set. Up to this point, he tells them every time he does a miracle, every time he does something great, don't tell anybody. Go your way, tell no man what has just happened. Don't tell anybody what you experienced. Don't tell anybody. But as he comes into Jerusalem, how many know he's setting in a different place? He's setting in a different seat. One scripture says he sets on the colt and the foal of an ass. How many know it's an old and new covenant coming together in one place? The fulfillment of one, the beginning of a new. Hallelujah. And if any man say unto you, why do you say that? Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye, loosing the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strewed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who come in the name of the Lord. And what they're basically saying there is, our Savior has come. Hosanna, save us now. We beseech thee, O King. Our Savior has come. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, or Savior in the highest. And Jesus entered in Jerusalem and into the temple. When he had looked round about all upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Let me know, when he comes into to the city, the scripture says that they begin to cry out, O Hosanna to the King, save us now, we beseech thee, O King. And the Pharisees came to him and said, you need to quiet your disciples. Do you know what they're saying? Now remember, I said up to this point, he's kept saying, don't tell anybody, don't tell anybody. Up to this point, he said, you need to just quiet your, do you hear what they're saying? They're calling you the Savior. Do you know what they're saying? He said, I'm going to tell you, if you quiet them, the rocks are going to cry out in my name. He said, you can try to silence them, but I'm going to tell you, the time has come where even all of creation is going to cry out and proclaim. He said that I am King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You cannot silence them. Can I tell you, this was probably the first real rock concert when Jesus walks into the city and says, let me tell you what, the rocks are going to cry out in my place. You may try to silence these people, but I'm going to tell you, the rocks are going to lift up their voice. All of creation is going to proclaim. All of the nations are going to declare. The heavens are holding back right now. Right now, the heavens are holding back and said, if you'll quiet these people back, I'm going to tell you, I can't hold it back any longer, because right now, all of creation, all of the heavens, all of every prophet Isaiah that ever prophesied and said, the Messiah is about to come, they're standing, they're holding back. But if you hold back this multitude, I'm telling you, the heavens are not going to be able to contain themselves. The earth is is not going to be able to contain themselves, because they're going to begin to hear a cry from the heavens that says, this is the King of Kings. This is the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. I come to tell you today, there ain't no rock gonna cry out in my place. Hallelujah. That's what I feel like sometimes when we come into the house of the Lord. You're going to have to be silent rocks, because it's my turn to sing. It's my turn to shout. It's my turn to worship. I'm not letting no rock take my place. And if I begin to shout, there's going to be a shaking in the earth and a little bit of an earthquake, and the heavens and the earth come into agreement. Hallelujah. How many know when Jesus lifted up his voice on the cross, the scriptures said, and the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom, and mercy come running out of that place. And when mercy cut loose, the heavens and the earth began to shake, and the earthquakes began to tremble, and something began to happen in the earth as it was in the heavens. Hallelujah. When you lift up your voice in praise, something happens. Hallelujah. You are those rocks. You are lively stones. Hallelujah. You are not bricks. You are not man-made. Hallelujah. And when we come together, we begin to lift our voice in praise and say, Hosanna to the highest. My King has come to save. He has come to make me free. He has come to save us. Hallelujah. He has come to save us.
Hallelujah.
It says groans. All creation groans and travails to be delivered.
Yes.
LifeScience.com says the earth gives off a relentless hum of countless notes, completely imperceptible to the human ear, like a giant, exceptionally quiet symphony. But the origin of this sound remains a mystery. Unexpected powerful tunes have been discovered in this hum. These new findings could shed light on the source of this enigma. The planet emanates a constant rumble far below the limits of human learning, even when the ground isn't shaking from an earthquake. This sound, first discovered a decade ago, is one that only scientific instruments, seismometers, can detect. Research calls it Earth's hum. Hallelujah. Can I tell you that the earth is already, it says the leaves of the trees are going to clap their hands. The rocks are going to cry out in praise. I'm going to tell you can join the symphony this morning. You can join that crowd. You can join that choir, that chorus, that rock band, call it whatever you want to call it. But all of creation is declaring that our Savior reigns today. Hosanna in the highest. Hallelujah. What Jesus does from that point, I'm running out of time. I'm not going to get to what he does from that point. He goes from there and goes into the temple. And he says, my house shall be called a house of prayer, and you have made it a den of thieves. You have so robbed my people. You have taken their offering and said it's not good enough. It's not temple money. You've taken their sacrifice and you said it's not acceptable, and you sold them sacrifices at gain to your own self. And he takes and he overturns the tables in the temple. He throws out the money changers. He throws out those who are buying and selling religion in the house of God, and said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. I don't know about you, but I'm done with buying and selling religion. I'm ready for it to be a house of prayer and a house of praise and a house of a shout. Hallelujah. And he comes out of that temple and he walks past a fig tree, and he said, and it looks like a fig tree because it's got leaves on it, but there's no fruit. He curses that fig tree and he said, from henceforth on, this tree will no longer produce figs.
Amen.
What's he doing? He didn't just get mad and throw all them people out of the temple and say, man, I'm in a bad mood. I'm just going to curse that fig tree. What he says is, that fig tree is the exact picture of what I just did in the temple. And no longer will I allow my house to be a house of merchandising and a house of prostitution, of buying and selling the gospel or selling salvation or religion. He said, but my house shall be called a house of prayer. Hallelujah. And whatever you do, don't try to silence the rocks, because I've held them back as long as I can hold them back. I told them, don't tell nobody. But now I'm going to tell you, if I silence these voices, I'm not going to be able to hold back what's about to break loose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when he rents the veil of the temple from the top to the bottom, mercy comes running and the rocks themselves begin to shake and quake. Hallelujah. I think what's happening with the sound that they hear that causes the heavens to shake is all of heaven grabs a hold of their sword and draws it when he says, "It is finished." Hallelujah. And they stand guard of him because the most profound moment in history is about to take place. The moment that we even set time by. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
If I silence these rocks, if I silence these voices, I'm not going to be responsible for what happens.
Amen.
When these rocks begin to cry out. Hallelujah. I'm not going to let the rocks cry out my place. I'm going to join in the choir and in the chorus. Hallelujah. As all of heaven and all of earth begin to proclaim, "Hosanna in the highest. You are my Savior, my King, my Lord of Lords." Hallelujah. I'm done with a brick system. I'm done with a fig system. I want rocks and cedars. I want something of substance. I want something of strength. I want something that God has worked on and molded and built up, a holy habitation unto the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to be that stone. Amen. I want to pattern myself out of the chief cornerstone. He said to some, "I'm going to be a rock, a stumbling and a fence." But to some, "I'm going to be a chief cornerstone." Hallelujah. He said, "You're either going to fall over it or you're going to fall into it." Hallelujah. They either fell out with Jesus or they fell in love with him. I just choose to fall in love with him today. Amen. I choose to fall in love with him. No more man-made system. Hallelujah. But out of this house to build something, a wise man builds a house on rocks. A wise man builds a house with rocks. Hallelujah. Something of substance, something with character. Something that's been used in the hand of the master mason. Aren't you glad that he's still working on you this morning?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I ain't going to let no rocks cry in my place. And I believe if those voices start to cry out and those rocks start to cry out at the same time, that the rocks will cry out and the heavens start to cry out. And as they begin to cry out back and forth, I'm telling you, who knows what could happen. Amen. If we ever really release the power of the worship and the power of the Holy Ghost in us and begin to cry out, "Holy, holy, holy, the whole earth is filled with His glory." Amen. Hallelujah. Give Him some praise this morning. Hallelujah.